This is tape number 15 of a 16 tape series, the topic of which is humility. The original message was given by Pastor Grace Chang in Mandarin Chinese. Here is the message. For the past quite a few weeks, we have been talking about the issue of humility, and we all have been praying for this particular heavenly quality. It's not only a virtue, not only a characteristic of the heaven, but it is the very essence of Jesus' life. It is His life. So this is something we do not have a choice. We have to pursue. We have to work for. So in the Bible, it says, it talks about quite extensively about what will be brought about by the quality of humility. So many, many places in the Bible you can see the quality of humility will really bring about quite a few things from the Lord. First, the forgiveness from the Lord, and the healing from the Lord, and the humility will stop and will prevent the Lord from pouring down His wrath on His people. So when we humble ourselves, we will bring a lot of blessings and graces from the Lord. That's positively. But negatively, God will refrain from His pouring down of His wrath onto His people. So that is very important. On the other hand, when the spirit of pride will also bring something down to us, He will also bring about quite a few things. Let's look at the Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but when humility comes wisdom. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. So which means if we have a spirit of pride, it will bring disgrace to us, will bring disgrace on us. Let's look at the next place, which is Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. What in essence he says, pride just brings up, opens up opportunities for quarrels, but wisdom in a person is found in those who take advice. So a person who can take advice, who has the spirit of humility. Now let's look at chapter 14 also. 14:3. A fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of the wise protect them. A fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of the wise protect them. So, which means, because the words out of the mouth of a proud person, this will really be like a rod just beating up on himself. Now let's turn to chapter 16 also. Still Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. So see, these are very good lessons, very important lessons for all of us to learn. These are all important critical verses for all of us to pay attention to. We need to really read them and commit them to memory. These are very important Bible verses and teachings for us. It says, a haughty spirit before a fall. So which means if we have a pride spirit and we are just heading towards fall, heading towards our falling, our failure. So all these verses tells us one thing is, a person will just end up with a great failure. That's because it started with a spirit of pride. He harbors this spirit of pride. He opened himself up to let the spirit of pride set root in his heart. We are all familiar with the story of Jim Baker, the evangelist. And a while back, I remember I read this article about the whole rise and fall of Jim Baker. In this article, it says, in 1964, he started his service for the Lord. 1975, he just, in South Carolina, he started his service center by buying a 25 acres of land. So he started to build everything up, and he wants to build this center for service, and he named it PTL, Praise the Lord. And in no time, only 46 radio stations used his message. And also, around the globe, his programs were telecasted, and he built up big hotels so all the Christians can come to stay here to just have conferences and meetings and revivals, all that. And every year, his payroll is $30 million. His staff is 2,200 people. So his project is so big. His empire just grew and grew. And the people visited his place. The numbers are so large. The visitors, the number of visitors for his place ranked number 3, only after Disneyland and Disney World. That's how popular the place is. That's how just prosperous his empire is known. In 1979, when he has this dedication service for this particular site, and he prayed, he said, Lord, just help us. If one day this piece of land is no longer for the purpose for serving you, may this land be greatly cursed. And he never knew his prayer became reality many years down the road. In 1987, his scandal, sex scandal with his secretary was disclosed, and everybody knew this bad story. So, and shortly he confessed his sins, he resigned from his job, then his church, that organization just drove him out. They denied his job, and they denied his even membership. And this whole site, this whole place went into bankruptcy. And he was followed by all these lawsuits, and he was sentenced to prison for 45 years. And later on, we all knew that his wife divorced him. And in 1994, he just was released from prison. 1996, he wrote a book. He apologized not only to his mother church, he also apologized to the Christians the world over. So here we see the rise and fall of a servant of the Lord. And he rose so fast to fame, to great wealth, to greater popularity. But all of a sudden he just fell so badly, so just tragically. It just made me wonder, this verse in the Bible, it reminded me that it's such a fearful sight to fall into the mighty hands of God. So during the prison days, because he had all the time available to him, so he started to read the Bible more diligently. Then God just shone light into his heart, and he prayed to the Lord to help him out what went wrong. And he paid attention to the Word of God very, very closely. God just showed him this verse, says, greed for money is the root of all evils. Greed for money is the root of all evils. And he said when at the beginning phase of his service, he really just wholeheartedly served the Lord. But later on, when the whole thing prospered, and gradually he changed it, he started to serve his own personal pride, started to serve his own esteem. He wants to build the biggest hotel in the world. And in no time, it was only 1987. And the scandal was opened up to the whole world. Everybody knew that. So he just shared in the book that later on he did not serve the Lord. He just served for this big project. The project is the is his purpose. The project is something he is working very hard for. He is praying very hard for. All he wants is to build up his empire. And that's his goal. That's his endeavor. And because he said he realized that in the prison that all he had been working very hard for, he was trying to build the Tower of Babel of the 20th century. So instead of serving the Lord, all he is trying to serve, all he was trying to serve is serving his own name. He was trying to exalt his own name. So in the prime days of PTO, which was 1987, so every single day, tens of thousands of people listened to their broadcasting and telecasting. But in the prime days, he was struck down by the Lord. So everything is just crushed and smashed, and everything was soon to be history. So in the book, he just warned all the servants of the Lord, particularly those servants, they were in their prime days. He said, if you are a servant of the Lord, you have to be wholeheartedly focusing on the Lord and on the Lord only. If and whenever, when you divert, when your heart is opened up to anything else, instead of serving the Lord wholeheartedly, you are serving something else. Then be watchful, be on your guard. You are facing your failure. You are heading toward doomsday. So when people interviewed him, people asked him, didn't you know while you were doing something wrong? Didn't you realize you were doing something wrong or Allah? He said, no, I never thought I did something wrong. I never realized I was doing something wrong, because the whole thing started with very small things, small issues. Then it just snowballed gradually. So he just said, once again, we need to be very, very concentrating on the Lord only. We need to focus on the Lord. We need to focus on one thing and one thing only, which is serve the Lord. For the cause of the Lord, not for anything else. So he really tells us that a haughty heart just faces fall. Haughty heart comes before fall. So this is what Bible teaches. Brothers and sisters, we need to be very, very careful. We need to be very, very careful. So oftentimes when we have this spirit of pride, and we have this haughty heart, we did not know it, we did not realize it, and often subconsciously, without realizing it, we push the Lord aside, we push our Lord out of their heart, out of the place, the right place, which is specifically reserved for the Lord. Then without realizing them, we started on the wrong path. So go through the history of the Bible. You can see dozens and dozens of kings. You have good kings and bad kings. For all these bad kings, these are the kings. They have a heart of pride. They have a spirit of pride. Oftentimes when these kings, when they started, they were good. They were good because the Lord helped them to be king. The Lord installed them on the position of kingship. But when they just gradually grew more prosperous, then they just developed this haughty heart. They opened themselves up to for the spirit of pride to set root. Then once when they have the spirit of pride inside them, then they no longer have listening ears. They no longer have the right attitude before God and also before men. So they cannot take any advice from other people. I firmly believe in the beginning days of Jim Baker's service, when something starts to show some signs of going the wrong path, I firmly believe his co-workers, his friends, they just talk to him. They just try to point out to him. But I think because he had this heart of pride, he did not listen. He refused to listen. And all these advice, all these suggestions, all these corrections fell on deaf ears. Remember the example of Peter. Peter also had a spirit of pride. So the Lord told him, and he would fail. And he said, no, other people will fall, but not me. But we all knew he failed very badly. 3 times he denied the Lord. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 10. This is the passage today we want to concentrate on. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 10. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. But God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I will not be a fool, because I would speak in the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Here, Paul said, I must go on posting, although there is nothing to be gained. Actually, what he is saying, he is not boasting about himself, but what he is trying to tell the Christians in Corinth is, I have some message for you. I want to share with you my personal experience, and with the sharing of my experience, there's some important message I want to share with you. He was brought up, caught up in the heaven, in the third heaven by the Lord. What he said here is, I know this man. What Paul is trying to separate this man who experienced this from the Paul himself. He said, well, this person experienced something, but since he experienced some great experience, doesn't make this person anything different. This makes this person anything so special about it. Oftentimes, we Christians, if we experience something very special from the Lord, oftentimes we not only boast about it, we oftentimes take it as our personal possession. We take it as something we can be very proud of. We take it as something we can be boasted about. We can be boasting about all around. So it's not something that you and I possess. It is just something, some experience the Lord just showed his grace on you. So you have this experience. So there was this young boy, when he was very young, all of a sudden in his room, he had this vision that the Lord showed him to this young boy. So he ran out to the mother. He said, "Mother, come, see the Lord is in the room." Well, this is just a vision. This is just some very special experience for the young boy. But now, and nothing made such a big difference for the young boy. And oftentimes today's Christians, we have the same experience or same attitude. Oftentimes we experience something. We experience something very special from the Lord. Or we have this vision of that. And yes, it is some very special kind of experience, but that does not make us so different. That does not make us a person who is very special. We are still just a very common person. Now, the important question we need to ask you and myself is, does these experiences make us love the Lord more, make us more merciful to the people around us? Take the example of Brother Lawrence. When he was young, he saw a falling leaf in the autumn season. because of the simple fact, it's not a vision, it's a very common thing, it's a falling of an autumn leaf. Because this falling leaf made him think, he find, okay, now the life scene is leaving this tree, and all the leaves are falling down, the leaves are dying, but the next spring, the life will be just coming back to the tree, and they will bud again, all the new leaves will come out. It's so miraculous. This is a creation by the Lord. This is a wondrous life, it's a living process of a tree, which is just a creation of the Lord. So he sensed the greatness, the wonderful God himself. So after 4 decades later, he said, because that simple fact just revealed such an important message to me. So after 40 years, my love for the Lord, my adoration for the Lord has never decreased, not even a bit. Christians. So Brother Lawrence did not experience anything. It's just a simple fact. But that simple fact taught him a lesson. That simple fact, that simple revelation brought him much closer to the Lord. So brothers and sisters, sometimes you and I, we can experience something very special, very, very graceful from the Lord. But oftentimes it failed to change our lives. Even though we experience this and that, we have this vision or that, but our life is not changed. We still say the words that hurt people. We still show our old self is so just strong in us. So we need to be careful. If we receive any graces and blessings from the Lord, these are not things we should be boasted about, because that's not our private personal property. That's not our possessions. So look here. Paul said, I will boast about that man, but about myself, I have nothing to boast about except about my weaknesses. So Paul said, I'm going to boast about for a man like that. He was caught up in the third heaven, but for myself, I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. So there was this person who had a surgery, and he was in the hospital, lying in the bed. And all of a sudden he experienced this vision, and he saw the angels in the room, all that. He was so happy, so thrilled. So he shared this vision with the other patients in the hospital. And later on, this experience, this vision just, the word got around. So all the other Christians, they came to him, other churches came to him, they wanted him to share his personal experience, his personal vision. But you know what? This person just went all over the place to different churches to share his vision, to share his experience. But this person had not even developed the habit to spend time with the Word of God every day. It's such a simple thing Christians should be doing. He hadn't started to doing that yet. So brothers and sisters, the issue here, the question here is whether or not we really are led into the deeper spiritual life by the Lord, out of our experiences, out of our special visions or experiences from the Lord. So here Paul separated these two persons. One person is the first Paul, who experienced the vision, who experienced the special spiritual experiences from the Lord. Another Paul is Paul himself. So he separated these two different Pauls. So Christians, let me emphasize one more time, do not treat the visions, the spiritual experience God just gave you as your personal property, as your personal possession. So look at it, take the example of King Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king, and he was sick, and the Lord already sent Isaiah to tell him, says, put your house in order, because you are going to die. You are destined to die very soon. So Hezekiah just lied on his sick bed, turned to face the wall. He cried, he wept very bitterly, and he just prayed to the Lord. And he said, Lord, you have seen what I did in your face, what I have been doing, what I have been behaving myself in your presence. Lord, just have mercy on me. Lord, just have your blessings and grace and show your face to me. And God listened to his prayer. So the God once again sent his servant Isaiah to Hezekiah and said, yeah, God listened to your prayer. So he is going to add 15 more years to your life. You will not die, and your sickness will be healed. So not only that, God is giving him a sign, which is to take 10 steps of the sun, the shade, the sunset back. So it's a very wonderful experience. So really, the shade of the sun was really taken back 10 steps by the Lord. So it is a miracle, just came with the promise of the Lord. So all we can tell is from this example, Hezekiah's prayer is such a powerful prayer. That prayer brings about miracles, brings about great blessings and graces from the Lord. Then, see, this is Hezekiah's prayer. It is a wonderful prayer. So Hezekiah's sickness was healed and he got up. And later on, the king of Babylon just came to visit him because he heard Hezekiah was healed, Hezekiah recovered. So Hezekiah just received a messenger from the king of Babylon. Not only that, in addition, he showed all the treasuries in his storehouses. He opened up all the treasure houses and storehouses to show his property, to show all the things that Hezekiah is very proud of to the messenger from the king of Babylon. Now, third time, the prophet Isaiah came to Hezekiah. And he asked Hezekiah, what did they see in your palace? Hezekiah said, well, I just simply showed him everything. I showed all my properties, all my treasures to them. So now here, it's an important message from Isaiah. Isaiah said, the day will come, all the things you are proud of, all the things today you have shown to the messenger, all these things will be taken away from you. They will become the possessions of your enemy. Christians, here is an important lesson for us to learn. So we should never be boasting about the blessings and the graces from God. All these things, if we boast about, if we take these things as our personal property, as our personal possession, then they will become the snares for us. Like maybe you are very good with words to preach, and you are good at casting out demons. Probably you are you have the talents to play the piano at a church, and probably you are very good with different capacity of the service in the Lord. Probably you are very good in evangelizing people. Probably you are very good in praying for people. But brothers and sisters, we need to be very cautious. These are not the things we can be boasting about. These are not the things we should boast about. These are not the things we can take as our personal property or our personal possessions. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to constantly pray to the God, whatever you have given me, it's yours. It's not mine. It's yours. You just entrusted me with these talents. These are the tools you just entrusted me to use to serve you better. So, brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful whether or not we have this spirit of pride. If we have a faulty heart, we are heading towards fall. So brothers and sisters, if we take these talents and gifts as our personal properties and possessions, then like the prophet Isaiah said, the day will come, they will become, they will be taken away from us, and these things will become the possessions of our enemies. So maybe we are having a good job, we make a lot of money, and we have other blessings. We have a very beautiful family, we have a beautiful house, and we have very obeying children, all that. All these things we need to be careful before the Lord. Lord, these are not mine. These are the things I just received from you. Lord, how you are going to use them, let me know, show me, and I want to dedicate everything I have to you and for your cause. So this is the attitude we should take. Otherwise, then all these good things will be taken away from me someday. my father, when I first started to serve the Lord, my father was in the real estate business. But all along, his business deals were all bad. He ended up have a bad habit of buying high and sell low. In terms of selling real estate properties, all that. So he all along he had this very, very bad luck with his real estate endeavors. And then I started to serve the Lord. And I remember in those days my father was in the restaurant business and he accumulated some money. So when I was in my second year of my middle school, my father bought a house for 800,000 Taiwan yuan. And when I was in college, that was quite a few years later, my next door neighbor, they sold their property only for 600,000 Taiwan yuan. So see, real estate properties in my area was dropping. So when I started to serve the Lord, I prayed to God, could you just help us so we can sell our house, so we can move to Goat's Cove, which is the location, which is the town where my church is located, so I can be closer to my church, closer to the place where I serve. So I prayed to Lord this way. Then all of a sudden, miraculously, my father just said he wanted to sell the house. And believe it or not, he sold it. He sold it for 5.65 million Taiwan yuan. 5.65 million Taiwan yuan. And because he made so much money on this thing, so he bought two more houses. He and my elder brother, they just got into this real estate business. And they just, they bought two more houses. They got into buy and sell things. Once when they just got into this real estate business and we moved quite often, then I just said to my father, Father, could you please buy your next house very close to Goat's Cove, maybe hopefully in Goat's Cove, because deep in my heart I was hoping so our family would be very close to our church. So one day when I was serving in Hsinchu, there I had a business trip to go to Taipei. And on my way back that day, I went to my own home, to my father's house. And my father, as soon as I stepped in, my father said, well, we are going to move. I said, why are you moving, guys? He said, well, we already bought a house. We are moving to Goat's Cove. I was so stunned. Goat's Cove? That's where the location of my church is. He said, well, because your brother remembers seeing this ad in the paper. So we looked at it, and the house was located in Goat's Cove. This morning, your brother went over there, and then we all went over there. We looked at that house. We liked the house so much, and whatever price they as the 2.52 million Taiwan yuan, and the asking price was very firm, and we paid our down payment, and we bought this house. So very soon, we are moving. Oh, I thank the Lord, because that's the Lord really has answered my prayer. Since my father made so much money from his previous house, so we did have money to buy this house. Not only that, in addition, they bought two more houses. They started this real estate business. And my brother was so happy, and my father even said he was very, very lucky in his real estate endeavor, and he has been very successful. And he was so happy, they become more and more successful in real estate dealings. Then every month I still went back to home to visit them, even though I was serving in the church with Goat's Cove and Hsinchu. Then I remember later on one time when I went over there, my father said, I have been so successful. I'm so lucky because this year I have made so much money. Then I said, Daddy, just because you know what, because your daughter, me, I'm serving for the Lord. I'm serving the Lord, so that's why God is blessing you. My father immediately retorted, no, don't talk to me about your God. I'm just very lucky. I'm just very successful in those real estate dealings. And shortly after he said that, luck has turned its back on my father. So they started to lose money in their dealings. Both my brother and my father, they started losing money in their real estate business. And the situation became worse and worse. Because of that, they lost one house after another. So their luck went all the back to their good old days, or should I say the bad old days. They ended up with the same situation. They bought high and sell low. That's exactly what happened to them. See, what happened here, brothers and sisters? All this happened. All the Lord is looking for is looking for a thankful heart, a grateful heart. So I just told my brothers, why don't you guys have a great heart? You just express your gratitude to the Lord, because the Lord has helped you. Because of that, their business failed again. See, here, brothers and sisters, because they had this haughty heart, because they had this spirit of pride, they were proud of themselves. They were proud of their own capabilities. They were boasting about their own possessions, own just properties. See? So all these were taken away from them. So all God is looking for from us, we have this humility attitude before the Lord. We have this grateful heart before God to walk with Him. In the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8, it says, He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. He asks a question. What does the Lord require of you? He is looking for you to do what is right in His eyes. He is looking to you to show mercy to the people around you. You know, who can show mercy to people around them? These are the people with a humble attitude. These are the people who have a spirit of humility before the Lord. Then they can show mercy to people around them. So oftentimes we have a good family, we have a very loving relationship with our spouse, and we are doing very successfully with our career. If that's the situations we are in, then we need to be more humble before our God. We need to pray to God, Lord, all these things I have, it's from You. I just received it from You. Nothing I can boast about, because all these things are Yours. You just entrusted me. So when we come to the example of Paul, Apostle Paul, see, he is such a humble person. He is a very, very humble person. Look, he said here, this is something very important. He said, I will not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. So brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful. We need to learn that this deep lesson which is taught by this verse, do not think more of a person than is warranted. So I, being your pastor, sometimes I'm very careful about this also. I also want to tell you, do not think more of me than is warranted. I'm just a simple person just like you. I'm just a regular Christian like you, despite the fact I'm a pastor of yours. Paul continued to say, he said, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. It's a messenger of Satan to torment me. So Sister Clarion told me, the original word for this word, the thorn, the original meaning is a living. It's a living thorn. It has a life of its own. And this same word is used in the Numbers 33:5. In the Numbers 33:55, it said, but if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land, those you allow to remain will become barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sight. So this is the same word. This word means this thorn has a life of its own. It is a living thorn. So here, what is this thorn then? This thorn is the people. They are going to disturb you. They are going to bother you. Okay, if you do not get rid of these people, then they will keep on pounding on you. They will keep bothering you. They will keep disturbing you. See? So here, in the word of Paul, we know is because if we do not get rid of our form, if we do not get rid of our pride, then it will become a thorn. Okay, it will become a personal thorn, has been just bothering us and disturbing us. So we don't know too much about the thorn of Paul. But Paul said, this is very important. This is a message of Satan to torment Paul. So three times Paul pleaded with the Lord to take it away. But God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul realized that this thorn, God purposely left it with Paul, so Paul will not be proud of himself. Paul will be constantly reminded everything Paul had. Certainly we all know Paul had great gifts and talents from God. Everything Paul had is from the Lord. We have this Christian brother many years ago in our church, and he is a brother well liked by the people in the church, and we like him very, very much, and he was such an exemplary Christian. But he told us his wife just always seems picking on him, pointing out this area to work on, this area of his weakness. But we all like him a lot. But after a long while, he shared with us that he realized his very wife is the blessing from the Lord. He become a person that everybody in the church likes him. Why? That's because of his wife. Because of his wife has been bugging him, has been correcting him, criticizing him all along. So even before the two of them got married, and every time when he went to his parents-in-law's house, and when they sat down to eat, his wife just gave him so many different kind of food from the dishes, which he was always afraid. But the wife just forced him to eat the food, to eat the dishes he did not like. And the wife also talked to him, you are such an introvert, how can you be a servant of the Lord? So the wife has been correcting him all the time. The wife has been saying things and doing things and trying to improve him all the time. It seems that he is always not good enough in the sight of his wife. See, because of this, he was a very humble person. And he became a person that everybody in the church liked that very much. So it's the same thing, you know, when we see extramarital affairs, why so many men, they had extramarital affairs? That's because the other woman, the woman outside the family, they just respected him. They worshipped him, so they felt it's so different. So that's the kind of attention they desire. That's the kind of attention they after. But they forget. They forget is the woman inside their house, their spouse, their wives are the thorns God has planted in their lives, so they can be made, the husbands can be made humble before the Lord, before other people. So we need to be thankful to the Lord for the thorns in our lives, so we can be more humble, so the heavenly quality of the humility can be more molded in us, can be more just established in us. So brothers and sisters, we need to be careful. If Lord really loves us, which he does, he loves us, so he really wants to build us up. It's his desire to build us up. It's his desire to mold us to be more like Christ. So he will give us a heavier lessons to learn. So like that brother, oftentimes the church people compliment to the compliment him in the face of his wife. Oh, he is so good, he is so caring, he is so friendly, all that. But the wife oftentimes smiled and replied, well, you guys, you don't know about him. You haven't seen his weak side, all that. So Let's look at verse 9 here again. He said, Paul said, we're still looking at the 2 Corinthians. Verse 9 said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. So, well, today we Christians do the same thing. We also boast about our weaknesses, but with a wrong purpose, though. Oftentimes we boast about weaknesses. We use that as an excuse to shy away from the church services. So, but here, Paul boasted about his weaknesses. He did that with a different purpose, with a purpose so God's greatness, God's power may rest on him. So God, which means, in essence, God's power can be displayed. God's graces can be manifested in Paul. And oftentimes, we Christians today, whether it's our family member or our co-workers at the church or just another brother or sister, when they just pointed our weaknesses, oftentimes we reply that, oh yeah, this is my weakness, just pray for me. But you know what, deep in our heart, our attitude is, I don't want to talk about it, I don't want particular other people to talk about it, because I don't even want to think about it. You just pray for me. I just simply don't want to touch that area. I don't want to touch that topic, because we want to shy away from our weaknesses. We do not want people to poke into our weak areas, because we do not like to be said. We do not like to be told. We do not like to be advised. We do not like to be spoken to about our weaknesses. We do not like to be corrected. So, brothers and sisters, here is something we need to pay attention to. So, Paul here boasted about his weaknesses. Oftentimes, we do the same, but be careful. Oftentimes, we do for a wrong purpose with a wrong intent behind this. But Paul said here, I boast about my weakness so that God's power can rest on me. God's great strength and power will be manifested through me and on me. So, brothers and sisters, this is a very good example Paul set before you and me so we can learn from. Some other people, sometimes they don't say it. And these are people, often they do not realize they have gifts and talents from the Lord. But sometimes when they just gradually they realize that they have some talents from the Lord, they have some capabilities from the Lord, which they think they are good at. They realize their strengths. But after that, if people in the church fail to recognize their strength and their power, then talents, and sometimes when in the service of the church, people just did not just approach them, people did not invite them to join, and they think they are talented in this particular area, they will feel bad. They will feel sullen and gloomy, and they will feel depressed because they think they have this capability, and that's their strength. People should know. People should realize. People should recognize, people should approach them, people should come to them for help. If they don't, these people feel bad. Why? Because they have this spirit of pride. So Paul set before us an example. He is a self-denying person. This is the kind of Christian we are talking about. We all need to be a self-denying person, which means, what do I mean by self-denying? We need to come to this realization that I am nobody before God and before man. I am nobody. I have nothing. I am hopeless. I am helpless. Only God is the person I want to boast about. But for myself, besides my weakness, I have nothing to boast about. I only boast about my weaknesses, just like Paul said, like Paul did. So the purpose, and not only that, the purpose behind this boasting is, when I boast about my weaknesses, so God's power and strength can rest on me. God's great power, great wonder, great strength can be manifested on me and through me. So may God shine His light in our hearts, so our inner eyes will really be opened. We will really get this message, how to be a humble person, how to develop this humble attitude before God and before man. Let's look at one more place in the Bible, which is Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Last week, I just bumped into this part of the Bible, and my heart was really touched by the humility which was manifested by the Son of God, Jesus himself. He was, in very essence, in his very nature, he was Son of God. But he came to John the Baptist and he said, "I want to be baptized by you." That's why John said, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Then Jesus said, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness, or to do this according to all laws." So what Jesus is really trying to say is, I will pay respect to where respect is due. I do whatever I need to be doing according to the Jewish law. Even though he himself in the very nature is Son of God, he is God, he is above all laws, but he just humbled himself under the ordinances, under the Jewish law. So he obeyed all the laws. Because he humbled himself, it says, at that moment, heaven was open. Heaven was open because Jesus obeyed the law, because Jesus humbled before the Jewish laws and righteousness. So brothers and sisters, oftentimes to us Christians today, oftentimes our sky, our heaven is not open. The heaven above us, it's just like a bronze. It's like iron. It's so hard. It did not open. It refused to open for us. Why? Because we fail to humble ourselves. Because we fail to have this attitude of humility. Because we fail to have this attitude of gentleness before the Lord. So when we can just humble ourselves there, we can be really step down from our personal pride. We can humble ourselves before God. We can deny ourselves before the Lord. Then the heaven will open for us. So we can really be so close, so intimate with our God, if we can humble ourselves. So Christian brothers and sisters, if we are humble before the Lord, then often the heaven above is often open. So it will be so good for us, so easy for us to communicate, to communion with God. Let's look at another verse, which is 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14 through 16. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. My eyes and my heart will always be there." So brothers and sisters, what is the first step for revival? This first step, often you and I, we do not have the step. We have not taken the first step to induce this revival among us. You know why? The first step of any spiritual revival is a spirit of humility. It's a person humble himself before God, to humble himself before God and man. Oftentimes we pray for revival, but we fail to humble ourselves, which we just missed the first step. We lack the first step. We did not do. We did not take. The first step is to humble ourselves before God and man. So this is the example here. Here God said, if the people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So which means the graces and blessings of the Lord will be descending under one condition, is that God's people have to humble themselves first. So oftentimes, instead of humble ourselves, we pray, we fast, we ask for, we plead God to just pour down His blessings and graces, but we did not get it. Why? Why? Because we fail to humble ourselves. So Christians, we have been concentrating on the issue of humility. We have been talking for so many sessions now for the quality of humility. So this is a lesson for us to learn. So often he says, God will heal our land. Here the verse said, remember this is verse 14. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. In the OT time, and the land means our heart. The peace of land is our heart. So God will heal our heart. God will work in our heart. God will restore our heart. God will put the quality of humility into our heart. God will mold this characteristic, which is a heavenly characteristic of humility, in our heart. So we will be more like Christ. So we will start to experience this heavenly change in us. So we will be transformed to the likelihood, to the likeness of Christ. In the Proverb chapter 6 also says, God detests seven things, but the first thing is arrogance, is a haughty heart, is a proud attitude. So out of the seven things God detests, the very first thing mentioned was a haughty heart, was a proud attitude. So, brothers and sisters, these are the messages in the Bible. They are so clear to us. May the message really just reach to our heart. So we will really learn the lesson. We will receive this message from the Lord with greater humility. So we will just rid ourselves of our old self, which is a character of pride. We can humble ourselves. We can become a self-denying Christian before the Lord. So we will be more pleasant in the eyes of the Lord. So He can continue to mold us to be more like Christ. So brothers and sisters, may Lord bless His own word. We want to sing this hymn song and we will be dismissed.